Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. It's the Joe Pags Show. And man, do we have a lot going on today. I mean, we've got a lot that we're going to get to. You know what I'm saying, Carrie? We have a ton that's on the way. I mean, it is a big, big day.
Mm-hmm.
You know how big the day is?
How big?
Would you like to know?
Yes,
on a Monday?
Yes.
My goodness. All right, glad to have you. That's how we do a little Motown Monday. It's also MLK Day. We'll get into that in earnest in a moment. I will officially ask her, though. How you doing, Carrie? You good?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing all right. I mean, we've got a couple of big interviews in the program today. Elon Worman, he's an author and also a constitutional scholar. We talk about DACA and what President Obama did when it came to DACA in 2015. What President Trump is attempting to do now, and a federal judge in San Francisco for some reason said he can't do it, which doesn't make any sense. We talk about all that and then some. Also, a lot of people last week asked me, well, what is the process by which you can get rid of a judge? A judge who is appointed to a seat, and it's a lifetime seat. And there is a process. It's very hard, but there is a process. We'll get into exactly what that is. All right, we've also got James O'Keefe. He is the boss over at Project Veritas. Have you seen what they've been uncovering about Twitter?
I have, yes.
They're doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff when it comes to Twitter, including shadow banning. And when you send a direct message to somebody, is that in fact private? And can people at Twitter read it? And do they keep it? And is it archived? And man, there's a lot of stuff to talk about there. We have James at the bottom of the second hour. So make sure you stick around for that. Again, it's MLK Day 2018. And we'll certainly talk about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. coming up. But I can't not start with this Hawaii thing. And here's why I say it. As you know, I do a show called The Weekend with Joe Pags. While I was on the air on Saturday, I'm getting messages from my friends in Hawaii. We've got a great affiliate out in Hawaii, KHVH. We get great ratings. We're on from 4 o'clock, I believe, to 7 o'clock in drive time. And people were like Facebook messaging me and emailing me. We just got this, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And it was a warning that a ballistic missile was incoming to Hawaii. This is not a drill. I think there was some more wording on there, but that pretty much in context is what happened on Saturday. And I scrambled to try to find out as soon as I could whether it was real. And I think it took, 38 minutes, Carrie, to find out that it wasn't real?
That's right, 38 minutes, yes.
So for 38 minutes, you're walking around thinking you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
There is a ballistic missile on the way. No doubt, it's real, and now I'm going to die. So do you have a full story on this that we can do?
I can get it for you.
Yeah, if you don't mind, because I know that there's been some sort of a reassignment of the person who did it.
Mm-hmm, okay.
I guess I pretty much did the entire... Are you sick today? You sound a little bit under the weather.
Am,
you all right?
Yes,
I am. Do I need to come over there and give you a lozenge or something?
Yes, would you please? I could
some
use
warm
one of those.
Tea?
I could use that. Some hot tea.
Come on.
Yes.
Well, we've got the cold front of all cold fronts coming in tonight.
Oh,
already they're canceling school for tomorrow.
It's going to be nasty, yeah.
Going to be icy and nasty and weird, and hopefully everybody will be safe tomorrow in the San Antonio area. I guess we don't need the full story. I just put it out there. That's what happened.
Okay.
Now, almost immediately, you started having people who were somehow alleging that the president somehow had something to do with this. It was reported to me, although I didn't find the soundbite, that Tulsi Gabbard, who is a representative from Hawaii, somehow alluded to the fact that the president, for some reason, was to blame here. And then Jamie Lee Curtis, that well-known global scholar, she tweeted something today and didn't even suggest it was the president. He did it, period, end of story. Have a nice day. This is from January 13th, so Saturday afternoon, Jamie Lee Curtis sent this. This Hawaii missile scare is on you, Mr. Trump. The real fear that mothers and fathers and children felt is on you. It is on your arrogance, hubris, narcissism, rage, ego, immaturity, and your unstable idiocy. So I guess stable idiocy is better, Carrie, just for the record. Get the stable idiocy. That's acceptable.
Okay.
Shame on your hate-filled self. You did this. Carrie, did the president do this?
No, he did not.
It turns out an employee at the emergency management, whatever it is that sends out the texts, and if you had a cell phone and you were in Hawaii over the weekend, you got this text on Saturday that basically you were dead. They blamed it on a shift change and somebody pressed the wrong button or something. The person has now been reassigned. Now, I just want to think about this for a second because, you know, it's a Monday, just getting off the weekend. We're trying to relax. I got my one day off on Sunday, and maybe I'm not thinking clearly until about the second hour, and then we'll really start clicking into gear. But you have to type the words, ballistic missile alert, this is not a drill. I mean, are they telling me they have a button that you can accidentally press that says that? Does that sound likely to you?
No.
It doesn't to me.
I don't like that.
No. There can't be a button that's a... Because, look, how long does it take to type incoming ballistic missile, this is not a drill? Doesn't take that long.
No.
I don't think you need a button. I really just don't think you need a button. Now, this person's been reassigned. Whoever sent that out, I don't know if it was a joke or to try to make the president look bad or to just scare the hell out of people to impress a girl or a guy or something. But the person who did that should not be reassigned. That person should be investigated and possibly charged for causing mass panic. Have you heard some of the stories from people in Hawaii? They really, really they were hiding their kids in like,
I know,
sewer
drains.
They thought
they were going to die. Yeah.
Yes. So, what the, I mean, you don't get reassigned. Maybe you get reassigned to a psychiatric ward. Maybe you do that. But this person needs to face charges. And at the very least, this person should be out of a job. Because I've asked myself since Saturday morning when this thing went down, what would I do if we got, okay, that's it, incoming ballistic missile, not a drill. What would I do? I don't know. We don't have basements here in Texas. Can't go hide there. I don't know. I really don't. I'd gather the family around and say, we hope to God we survive it, I guess. But my goodness. And the knee-jerk reaction by the left. And Jamie Lee Curtis, by the way, has been attacked because she said this, as well she should. And I don't mean attacked physically, attacked verbally on Twitter. But she still left the tweet up. The tweet is still up. It's got 67,000 likes on there. That's how stupid people are. 67,000 likes on a tweet blaming President Trump for something somebody based in Hawaii did. The federal government, just in case anybody doesn't know, the federal government doesn't have the ability to send out that text for one state. The state handles that. The state of Hawaii is on the hook here. Not anybody in the federal government. If Hillary Clinton were in office, it still would not have been her. This came from somebody in Hawaii at the Hawaiian Emergency Management Station or whatever the hell it's called. Why? Listen, attack his policies. You don't like that he did the tax cuts. You think it's for the rich. You think that he's a racist, but you got to back that up with some information nobody has yet. But to say he did something that there is no way to get there from here is just bottom line stupid. And maybe I'm happy that she did it because it shows the stupidity, lunacy, and as she said, idiocy of the left. It shows that they are looking for a reason to blame him. And she, as dumb as that tweet was, she wasn't smart enough to remove it and apologize for her ridiculous allegation. That's nuts, man. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Your phone calls when we come back. We'll talk about Martin Luther King Jr. as well on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
WOAI is an iHeart Radio.
Come on, Carrie.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Nope. Motown Monday, the Joe Pags Show. Hopefully you're having a great day. We appreciate you. It's MLK Day in the United States of America, as well it should be. And we appreciate and honor the sacrifice and fight of Martin Luther King Jr. Died for a cause. Here's a guy that died for a cause. But you wonder, in this day and age, what do you know about Martin Luther King Jr.'s actions? What do you know about his goals? What was he trying to do? And it's an interesting question because there is a lot of confusion in this day and age about who Martin Luther King Jr. was. Martin Luther King Jr. was a true civil rights leader. There was not equal opportunity in this country. There wasn't when he started his marches, when he started his fight, when he started his struggle. The people today who are making millions of dollars and kneeling on the sidelines, I think, would be looked down upon by Martin Luther King Jr. I think that Martin Luther King Jr. would look at the presidency of Barack Obama and wonder why he was so divisive and separatist. I never once saw where Martin Luther King Jr. was trying to knock white people down in order to lift black people up. Martin Luther King Jr. and his life was not about helping black people. It wasn't. And it wasn't about being negative or attacking white people. Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy is, and his fight was, when he lived only a short time, to bring equal opportunity to every American, for every American to enjoy the promises of the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers made specific promises about what freedom and liberty looked like, what a better land than they left looks like, about all men being created equal. The Founding Fathers meant that not for everyone. But we righted the ship and we did the smart thing as we progressed and grew as a country to make sure it did mean everyone. When you have some people that are 2/3 of a person or 3/5 of a person when it comes to vote count or districts or so on, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't mean all men are created equal. Now, the word white doesn't appear in the Constitution or in the Declaration of Independence. So, I mean, it might have been assumed at that time because that was who was in control. But you know, I'm gonna venture a guess and say it didn't mean that. It wasn't assumed because there were black people who were created equal and treated equal or equally. They owned slaves themselves. They had plantations themselves. They were representing people in our government until something happened. Something happened to where when the Civil War broke out, suddenly all black people were this and all white people were that. And it took 100 years after the Civil War for Martin Luther King and his voice and his vehemence and his strength to remind us of the promises. He talked about how the government wrote, and he said, the Negro, a check that was returned for non-sufficient funds. It was the same check that other Americans got, but they were able to cash it. He was just talking about all Americans getting the same ability to cash the check of freedom and liberty and equal opportunity. He didn't want certain groups to be above other groups, and that somehow makes up for what we lived through. That isn't what his goal was. That isn't what his marches were about. His marches were about, I just want us all to get the same opportunity. His marches were about, I just want us all to enjoy the same freedoms and liberties and not be encumbered by whatever our skin color or ethnicity or race or background is. We somehow in this day and age, and by we, I mean the Democrat Party and people like Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and the Congressional Black Caucus, which is ridiculous. They want us to believe that Martin Luther King Jr. was fighting for black people against the evil that is whiteness. And it's not true. He wanted whatever freedoms and liberties were afforded white people to also be afforded black people. He wanted there to be a real mission to achieve the Founding Fathers' ideology of equal opportunity for all men and women and children. He didn't want this separatist society that the Great Society created, that he didn't want the separatist society that Democrats in America have created. Let's put all the black people in the slums and all the all the or in the projects. Let's put all the Hispanics in the slums and let's separate all that. Let's keep people out of this neighborhood and push people to the other neighborhood. Let's keep control on them. We'll give them some entitlements and maybe we can break up the family unit. Martin Luther King Jr. was not fighting for entitlements. He wasn't fighting for welfare. He wasn't fighting for food stamps. He was fighting for equal opportunity for all people. And the people, and he was right about this, he was speaking for that weren't getting the equal opportunity was what we then in this country called the Negro, black people. We now have to say African American. He wasn't fighting for them, though, against others in society. He was fighting for them just to get what was available in society. And for a long time, it wasn't. And he worked long and hard to achieve that. But this was a Christian man. And this was a guy who, by all accounts, if you read his writings, was a conservative man. Was he a Republican? I don't know. I never saw him say he was a Republican or Democrat, but, you know, by his actions, he was a conservative guy. He, I'm sure, was against abortion. He was for believing in a higher power, and he was for the unity of this country, making us stronger and as a whole people, helping us to move forward where everybody gets the same equal opportunity. And if that doesn't happen, let's fight for the people who aren't. We're not fighting for the people who aren't against the people who have it. We're fighting against a system that engendered that. And we've come a long way to fix that. There is no longer a lack of equal opportunity in this country. Are there people who start behind the starting line and aren't getting the equal opportunity to start at the starting line with everybody else? Yes. Can we continue to try to fix that? Yes, we can. But the people that are allegedly the new leaders, people who are those who are just political fighters, just people who are looking out for feigned made-up issues like Kaepernick and the like, they would not have been supported by a Martin Luther King Jr. Because he would have said, I'm sorry, you're making $14 million a year. What's your fight? So we commemorate, we remember, we honor Martin Luther King Jr. today. But make sure you're honoring what he really stood for and what he really did and what he died for. He died so that his children and their children and their children and their children would feel free to enjoy the freedom and liberty promised by the founders, and they could play with my kids or your kids and never be looked askance. Nobody to stare at them and go, well, what's that black kid doing with my white kid? No, none of that. He was working to get rid of that. And we could have been there by now. Barack Obama had the chance to really seal the deal, but instead he went the opposite way, divided more because he was hoping to keep political power, which is sick, to be honest with you. All right, before we hit a break and before we have Ilhan Wehrman, who's going to talk about DACA and that decision, he's a constitutional scholar, I have to go to AJ. AJ, I'm sorry, I only gave you about a minute. AJ?
Big Motown Joe. Hey, happy MLK Day, Big Daddy.
Back at you, sir.
I don't understand them idiots that Lewis and them guys that say they're not coming to the State of the Union. Now, you think Martin Luther King would have loved them doing that? That's not coming together.
And I bet he would have gone, too. I bet he would be there.
Big time. And that's showing who really are the divisive people in this world. And it would not have been happy what Barack Obama done to this country and the world, because that was not what Martin Luther King was fighting for. He was fighting for everybody. And I hope everybody teach their young kids that don't know nothing about him. But in our schools today, you know what they teach in Big Time Motown, bull crap. So it's up to us to keep preaching and doing like he did, preach the good of what real blood is. That's the blood of all human beings, everybody. Martin Luther King was a man of man. And dagnabbit, it's a shame that these idiot liberals got to go and try to do the opposite of what that man stood for.
Hey, AJ, you said is absolutely 100% right. He fought for all Americans. In fact, he was fighting for our country. He wanted America to be the country that the founding fathers envisioned. And the people that are allegedly fighting the fight today don't want this country at all. They hate it. And that's the big difference. I got to run here. We love you like a brother. Quick break. When we come back, Ilhan Wehrman, constitutional scholar, also author. He's got a lot to say about the DACA decision. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Very show.
Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride. It's the Joe Pags Show, and this is Ilhan Wehrman. We've had him on several times. He's an author. The name of the book is A Debt Against the Living. I want you to go and get it. Also a constitutional scholar. Ilhan, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, really appreciate having you on. I wanted to get with you because the whole idea that DACA is or isn't going to happen, or we're kicking it down the road, or you got to build a wall if you have deferred action for childhood arrivals. Let's go back to the very beginning. We never heard of DACA before a couple of years ago. And then President Obama, instead of enforcing the immigration laws, and instead of doing something through Congress that would be long-term and constitutional, he said, I've got a pen and a cell phone, and I'm going to do something about these people now. He decided to say, pay us a fine, and now you can compete against American workers. You cannot be arrested, nor prosecuted, nor deported by my Department of Justice. I've told them to ignore the law, and every 2 years you can re-up that. Talk about the legalities. Is that... Because I've said it a million times that it's not, but I want it from you. Is this constitutional or not what he did?
So the only argument that it could be constitutional is if this is somehow an exercise of prosecutorial discretion, right? Okay. The president, the U.S. attorneys, they can't possibly prosecute everybody for every crime, and it's perfectable for the president of the United States to set enforcement priorities. But there's a difference, I think, between DACA and prosecutorial discretion. Prosecutorial discretion means that the government at all times has the option of coming to you and prosecuting you for a crime. So when you as a private citizen are contemplating what you're going to do, your future activities, you know that there's a chance. Although the government might exercise prosecutorial discretion, they might come and get you anyway. DACA is different. DACA basically says we're doing this blanket program where we are not going to enforce this law at all moving forward. That's very different from this threat that the law might always be applied to you anyway. So this, what the president did here, what President Obama did, was tantamount to what some constitutional scholars have called suspending the laws, the suspension power. Historically, the king in Great Britain claimed this power of suspending the laws, suspending wholesale the operation of the laws. Well, the Bill of Rights of 1689, after the Glorious Revolution, explicitly has a provision that says it shall be unlawful for the king to suspend the law. Our Constitution grants legislative power to Congress and executive power to the president. This power to suspend the laws is nowhere there. If someone wants to suspend the law, Congress has to do it by eliminating it or passing a new law repealing it. And so that's the argument, that DACA was a suspension of the law and not really an exercise of prosecutorial discretion.
It's Elon Werman. He's a constitutional scholar. Also get his book, A Debt Against the Living. It's an awesome read. Go and get it. What's interesting about what you just said was, even if it were prosecutorial discretion, they aren't to the point of being prosecuted. The law enforcement section is being told, ignore them. We know where these 800,000 people are. We know what laws they've broken and continue to break by being here illegally. But I'm telling you, the law that's on the books is no longer valid because I'm basically the king. Through executive fiat, he said, this law bothers me. I mean, let me ask you this. It's going to sound dumb, but I think that it makes a point. Could the president in the same form and fashion say, you know what? If they robbed a bank, no big deal. Have them pay a fine, and we're not going to prosecute them. We're not going to look for them. We're not going to go in and arrest them. Let's ignore that law, provided they keep paying the fine every 2 years and re-sign some piece of paper. I mean, if he's allowed to do what he did with DACA, he would be allowed to do that with any law, no?
I think that's probably right, and I think that's why it'd be unconstitutional. Again, the president can say, okay, we're not going to enforce the law against this person who committed a bank robbery because there are extenuating circumstances, right. He was pressured into it or whatever, but it's very different to have a prospective rule that says we are no longer going to enforce the bank robbery rules against offenders who are between the ages of 16 and 18 who were merely accomplices.
Right.
Well, the law says if you're an accomplice, doesn't matter how old you are, you can be convicted of this crime. And so those are very different things, again, where the law always has the option, the government always has the option of applying the law against you. And you might face jail time. Yeah. It's very different from a prospective exemption from the laws entirely, which is a suspension of the laws.
Very well said. So President Trump comes in and he says, in 6 months, I'm getting rid of DACA. Guess what? Here's the ball. I'm handing it to you, Congress. Now do your job. Do the job that the people elected you to do. They want you to represent them. They want you to speak for them. They want something done about this. Do it. And Congress is saying, not only are we not going to do it, but the only reason why you want to get rid of DACA is because you're a racist. So what this president's doing, it seems to me, is trying to clean up the mess made by the previous president that just kicked the can down the road, right?
It's actually pretty interesting because a lot of people are wary of President Trump's use of executive power. You know, there are all these conferences of this fear of executive tyranny and the abuse of power. Yeah. But at least when it comes to DACA and the Affordable Care Act subsidies, these are things that President Obama never had the power to do, that he needed Congress to do, to make an appropriation for the health care subsidies. He needed Congress to amend the immigration laws to do DACA. Congress didn't do it. And so President Obama took it upon himself as the executive to do these things. And President Trump, in putting the ball back in Congress's court, in some sense, is reining in executive power more than the previous administration ever did.
It's Ilan Werman. He is a constitutional scholar. A Debt Against the Living is the name of his book, A Debt Against the Living. Go and get it. Get several copies and share it with your family and friends.
Please do.
So now we've got the president made the decision to undo the unconstitutional move by the previous president, send it back to the Congress. Somebody sued to a federal judge in San Francisco who said, not only can't you undo the unconstitutional thing that the previous president did, anything you try to do against that move by the previous president is going to be found unlawful. Get out of my court. Is that basically what he said? We're going to leave the unlawful thing in place and stop you from doing the lawful thing.
Right. It sounds crazy, but that's basically what he said. This opinion from this judge in San Francisco is probably one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Because think about it this way. DACA, as we said, was justified on the basis of prosecutorial discretion.
Right.
Well, if that's true, then President Trump must have the authority to do the opposite thing. If it's a matter of discretion, he must have that authority. Correct. What the judge in San Francisco said was, well, the reason that they stopped DACA was because they believed it was unlawful or it was unconstitutional. Well, I, federal judge in San Francisco, think that it's constitutional and it's lawful. And therefore, the Trump administration's argument was based on a flawed legal premise. And therefore, he must continue to do it.
Ilan, what part of the Constitution did he point to make that ruling?
He pointed to the administrative. Okay, he pointed to the Administrative Procedure Act ultimate holding that he said because the president's decision to end DACA was based on a flawed legal premise,
which isn't true. Right.
It is arbitrary and capricious and not in accordance with law, which is what the Administrative Procedure Act has to say. But this is insane, right? The president of the United States has a constitutional duty to interpret the law and to interpret the Constitution in order to enforce the law. Federal judges do not have a monopoly on what is and is not constitutional. And so even if this judge truly believes that it's constitutional, the president of the United States has the right to decide for him or herself whether a law is unconstitutional or not. This has been done repeatedly in our history, by the way. The federal courts ruled that the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1799, the 1798, right, which have basically been understood to be unconstitutional. The federal court said the Alien and Sedition Acts were constitutional. Thomas Jefferson said, I disagree with the courts, and I'm going to pardon everybody who was convicted under the Alien and Sedition Acts. Under this judge's ruling in San Francisco, basically the judge would have said, well, Thomas Jefferson, yeah, you have the right to exercise the pardon power, but because your exercise of the pardon power was based on an erroneous understanding of what I think, you know, the constitutionality of the Alien and Sedition Acts, I think your exercise of the pardon power is arbitrary and capricious, and I'm going to set it aside. You know, the court said the Bank of the United States was constitutional. Andrew Jackson said, I don't think it is. I'm going to veto it, right? The president has a independent duty to interpret the law and to enforce the law, because it's the president's duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed.
That is so
yes.
Yeah. That is so very interesting. I mean, the whole mechanism of how the inner workings happen. Very basically, it's called checks and balances. For some reason, this federal judge in San Francisco thought that he had the right to undo anything Congress does, undo anything the president does. And because I'm a judge in San Francisco, there really is no weight behind what he said. There are many other constitutional scholars, nowhere near as good as you, but who I've spoken with, who said, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, as far left as it is, that gets overturned 80% of the time at the Supreme Court, probably would disagree with this judge. Do you agree? That's tough, isn't it?
I think so, because this is really one of the craziest decisions I've ever seen. I mean, Josh Blackman's a constitutional scholar who's looked into this and written about this, and he says, and I think he's right, that we can't think of any other opinion in which a court has compelled the president of the United States to do something that everyone recognizes is within his discretionary power, not a mandatory power. The law doesn't compel him to do it, but it's discretionary. Everyone agrees he can or can't, you know, he has the choice not to do it. And here we have a single district judge compelling him to do it. So I think the Ninth Circuit probably would overturn it, but they're pretty crazy out there. You know?
Well, if not, the Supreme Court certainly would. It's Elon Worman. The name of the book is A Debt Against the Living. And we've already burned through 10 minutes, but I have to ask you this, because when this ruling came down last week, my phones melted down and my email burned up because people want to know, all right, enough is enough. What can we do to get rid of a judge who's gotten a lifetime appointment? What is the remedy? There must be one. You can't just say you can do anything you want and be a nut job.
Right. So it's fortunately, for better or worse, right? It's very, very hard. It's the same standard as to impeach the president. It's high crimes or misdemeanors. But this can include a failure to exercise one's constitutional duties. So, you know, if the president failed to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, there are situations in which the president can be impeached even without committing a crime. So arguably, a judge could similarly be impeached for failing to properly engage in the judicial duty. But for better or worse, and probably for better, this has almost never happened in our history. Justice Samuel Chase was impeached in 1800, I believe, because the anti-federalists believed that his judicial opinions were really incorrect. Okay. But the Senate acquitted the justice. And this has sort of stood for the proposition that we can't just impeach a judge because we disagree with their rulings, certainly not for political reasons. On the other hand, if you have a decision that is so outlandish and so crazy and so inconsistent with fundamental legal reasoning, it's probably not preposterous to try to impeach them. But I'm certainly not advocating that here of this federal judge. It's just something that we should, you know, we should just reflect more broadly on this power that judges seem to have assumed from themselves, you know, to issue nationwide injunctions and so on. I don't know what the solution is, historically, and I'll say one more thing on this nationwide injunctions point. Historically, judges didn't have this power. They didn't. They didn't have a power to fashion a nationwide injunction. The first nationwide injunction came about in like the late 60s or early 1970s. Oh, wow. So judges made this up. Historically, judges decided cases or controversies that bound the parties before them. And that means if this judge thought that ending DACA was unconstitutional, okay, that applies to the parties before that case, but not to 800,000 DACA recipients who aren't before the judge in that case. This was Lincoln and Dred Scott. The Supreme Court of the United States said the Missouri Compromise of 1820 was unconstitutional. The Missouri Compromise said there shall be no slavery north of the 36, I can't remember exactly, the 36-30 line or something like that. Right. The court said that's unconstitutional. The Southerners can bring their slaves wherever they want. This completely undid the Missouri Compromise, potentially leading and led in part to the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln said, well, the court binds Dred Scott and binds his owner, but the court does not bind the executive branch. I will continue to fight for the Missouri Compromise. Congress should reenact the Missouri Compromise because courts bind the cases, the parties before them. They can't issue these nationwide injunctions. It's a new thing. And I think it's a very dangerous power to have in the hands of individual federal judges.
Always get amazing information and a great education every time, Elon. It's Elon Worman. He's a constitutional scholar. Also has a book called A Debt Against the Living. It is a great read. Go find out what you put into this book. We don't have any time to talk about it now, but what you put into this book is so spelled out, so crystal clear. And it's not that long a book either, so you can go and read it and not get lost in the minutia. Elon, we always appreciate the time. Happy 2018, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks so much.
Back after this in the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Real news in real time, 24/7.
Gotta know what's happening in my city.
Because the news affects everybody.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
All right, glad to have you. It's a Motown Monday, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Three things available for you to chat about, either the Hawaii scare on Saturday, which is nuts, and the liberal left idiots are trying to blame Trump, but that's just dumb. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I'm glad we're commemorating his life, his sacrifice, and I urge us to remember what it was he was fighting for and what he died for. The way that it's being portrayed today is not what he was doing, which is strange. He was fighting for a better America for all people. He wasn't fighting one race against another race against another race. It didn't happen. And also, we've got DACA and the fact that it looks like might not pass or might not get done, or at least the Democrats are going to vote for it. And the reason why is kind of nuts. We'll have that for you, too. Meantime, got to ask you, have you noticed since you aged that well, your body's changing a little bit. Of course, mine hasn't. Well, maybe a little bit. But as we age, we do notice that our bodies change. Less energy. You feel more fatigued than you used to. Well, recently I learned that this is due to a decrease in circulation, and you can really work on your circulation and make sure it's where it needs to be. I found that if I start giving my body what it needs, now I can promote natural, healthy circulation and keep on feeling great as the years go by. I drink Super Beets in the morning. Super Beets promotes the body's own natural ability to produce healthier circulation for increased energy and stamina all day long. Only Super Beets is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to give your body what it needs as you age, call the number 800-516-8389, 800-516-8389, or joelovesbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beets for free, plus indicator strips to see how Super Beets is working for you. Free shipping too. 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeets.com. Do it right now. Hey, Carrie, I forgot to mention something off the top of the show.
What's that?
You know who's back?
Who?
Fairbanks.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, Fairbanks, Alaska, live awesome. At 4 p.m. I think it's live, 4 p.m. on KFBX. We appreciate Charlie and the great folks there for bringing us back on. It's been like a two-year, you know, labor of love trying to get back on that station.
Love it.
We're back on now Monday through Friday. We love being back on. Now we've got two stations in Alaska. And again, Charlie, thanks a million. For those of you who missed us in Fairbanks, thank you so much for saying something and fighting for us to come back. It really is a very, very, very big honor for us to bring the Joe Pag Show back to your great city. Let me go to the phone lines. Got about a minute for you, Chuck in South Carolina. What's going on?
Hey, Joe, great to talk to you, man. You got a good show there.
Thank you.
I'm talking about the scare in Hawaii. I have a different perspective on this, because what if this would have turned out to be like a H.G. Wells War of the Worlds thing, and people started like jumping off of buildings and killing their kids and stuff because they thought they were all dead?
Well, by some of what we're hearing reported from Hawaii, it's like some people took this extremely seriously, as well they should. It said not a drill. So, yeah, I mean, you make a good point. Scary.
Yeah. Yeah, this could have been even worse than what it turned out.
I got you, brother. I think you make a very good point. It really could have. I mean, we're lucky that nobody did end up dying. Nobody did, through panic, you know, end up stampeding, you know, down Main Street. You got to be very, very careful when something like this happens. So the idea that the person was reassigned makes me just a little bit crazy. Quick break here. We're coming back for hour number two on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
7-9600.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, you bet. Your great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, joepags.com, also Newsmax TV. The Joe Pag Show coming your way on a Monday. He said on a Monday. Come on. It's a Motown Monday. Glad to have you here. Welcome to the program. Thanks again to the good folks in Fairbanks, KFBX. We're back on the air in Fairbanks, Alaska. One of our 100 affiliates now. We appreciate you taking the time. Bring it. Glad to have you along for the ride. Junior Walker and his All-Stars, 1965, Shotgun. A lot going on today. Before the break, we were talking about DACA. We had Ilan Werman on. He's a constitutional expert. And also, he's a guy who's written a book about the Constitution I want you to go and get. But we broke down whether what then-President Obama did was constitutional or not when it comes to DACA, and the answer is probably not, and whether this president has the right to undo it, and the answer is, of course, he does. But for some reason, a judge in San Francisco decided that what Obama did was not only okay constitutionally, but it's righteous, and nobody else can touch it ever, because it's Obama. If it's Obama, you have to leave it alone, or else you're a racist. All right, so we've got that going on, which is always interesting. But I want to add upon that as well, because it turns out a bunch of Democrats aren't going to vote for the DACA fix. Huh? I thought they wanted the 100,000 deferred action for childhood arrivals people to stay. But it turns out it's not about them. It turns out Democrats like Joaquin Castro, and by the way, he's the twin brother of Julian Castro, who was the HUD secretary. Before that, he was the San Antonio mayor. And the Castro brothers, they talk a good game, but they really are just big government, big power and control people. And by the way, their mother just hates the Alamo. And there's a real, you know, issue there. And you know, I don't know. I love my mom. I'm sure they love their mom. I'm sure she's a nice lady. But when you say something disparaging and negative against the Alamo, and you're from the Alamo City, I'm not sure why these guys are looked at as the favorite sons. But Joaquin Castro, being interviewed by some show on some network that I don't even know where it is, said that he will not be voting for the DACA fix, and neither will any Democrat he knows. Now think about that. The 800,000 people who were brought across the border, not of their own volition, but brought here by their parents, they didn't do it. They didn't break the law. I get it. Something should be done. President Trump fixed the mean executive order by then President Obama. It was mean. It was nasty. It was uncaring and uncompassionate when he did this DACA bill or this DACA executive order. It wasn't even a bill. I mean, God forbid you should do a bill and go through Congress, because it just temporarily gave them a reprieve. It wasn't anything permanent. He purposely left them in limbo. And this president says, let's fix it. Let's fix it constitutionally. Let's fix it congressionally. Get me a bill and we'll sign it. And by the way, in that bill needs to be money for the border wall.
What?
Yeah. By the way, Carrie headed home, wasn't feeling great. Carrie feel better. Or else I would have given her a hard time about the button and all that. By the way, even when she's sick, still a pain in my ass. Just to let you know. I don't. That doesn't change anything. Paulo, you're with me on that, right? Doesn't change anything.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Because she's in the car listening. About 25, 30 minutes, we can start talking about her. So the whole DACA thing, if Joaquin Castro was who he said he was, somebody who cares about these young immigrants without papers, without documentation, these undocumented citizens, as some would call them, if he really cared about them, he would want something done to fix it. And why exactly is it a negative to have some sort of barrier on our border? I guess I'm not understanding the correlation, because if there's anybody out there listening or watching who thinks that building a wall or a fence or something, some sort of a barrier on our border with Mexico is not going to have gates and ports of entry, please call me right now and explain yourself. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Nobody but nobody. Nobody. Nobody has said it will be impenetrable. I mean, people will still come here. We'll still go there. Commerce will still happen between our friend Mexico and us, and vice versa. Why are people like Joaquin Castro pretending the wall is somehow going to be like the Great Wall of China, where you can't get in or out or get over it? There are going to be gates, openings, places through which we can go there and they can come here. It'll be great. But for some reason, people like him are pretending that isn't going to happen. So I urge my friends in San Antonio to vote his ass out next time he's up for re-election, which will be this year. The end of this year, you can vote him out. It's enough already. Enough already with somebody who just doesn't care about our sovereignty and our safety and clearly doesn't care about these 800,000 DACA people. 800,000 people that he's using as a political pawn, and people just like him. Dick Durbin, I mean, just go down the list. Nancy Pelosi, they're all using him as pawns in their little political chess game. They don't care about them because it's actually very simple. You want them to stay? Make sure that our border is fortified and we can manage it better than we can now. There is no downside to building a wall. None. And by the way, of these 800,000, I think 600,000 plus are from Mexico. And they are, in fact, Hispanic. It might be the Latino or Latin or Hispanic number might be even higher. But out of the 800,000, I'm pretty sure over 600,000 are actually from Mexico. Why would the president... Because Joaquin Castro and others like him want you to believe the president hates brown people, or black people, or whatever other than white people. If that's true, why does he want 800,000 to stay? Why does he want to give them a path? Why wouldn't he say, screw that, it's illegal, it's unconstitutional, we're sending them all back? He could tell Jeff Sessions tomorrow to round up all 800,000 and send them back. He could. Or Homeland Security, or ICE, or whomever. Why isn't he doing that if he hates Hispanics, if he hates Latin people? Maybe because he doesn't. And maybe securing the border doesn't equal I hate people on the other side. You know, the Pope Francis keeps on talking about how we need to this with North Korea, and we need to look at people who are immigrants, and we need to that. The Vatican is surrounded by a wall. I don't understand. And the reason why it's surrounded by a wall is to promote his safety and security and well-being. So don't fall for the BS by people like Joaquin Castro, because that's really what it is. When he says he cares about the 800,000 that are here, all he has to do is vote one way when when a fix to allow them to stay here is in place. It's not like the bill is going to say, okay, the 800,000 can stay, but we get to shoot and kill anybody else who tries to come here. It doesn't say anything like that. The 800,000 get to stay, but no person is ever allowed to come here again. That, it doesn't say that either. It just says that we need to build the wall. And if he doesn't want the wall, that he doesn't care about the 800,000. He doesn't. And I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of the games. They're foolish political games. And the more they say things on these networks that few people are watching, the more they expose themselves for the anti-American people they are. I believe Joaquin Castro is somebody who doesn't like an America that actually has borders. He doesn't like an America that actually has sovereignty. Doesn't like an America that actually keeps the land it won from Mexico. What? Because believe me, when his mother doesn't like the Alamo, that's why. She doesn't like that this land used to be Mexico and it's not anymore. Trust me when I say that. It's well documented. Look up their mother. And again, probably a great lady. But man, do I disagree with her feelings on the Alamo City, San Antonio, and Texas and America. So keep that in mind. Pay extra close attention. Even if you're a Democrat or a liberal, pay extra close attention to the liberal Democrats like the Castro brothers, who will not vote to give the DACA people a path to stay here permanently because they don't want the president to have a win when it comes to the border wall. And they don't want our southern border to be fortified because they truly want more people to come here as often as they want. Not through ports of entry, not through gates, but where they feel like it. And you know what? That's not okay. As the president said on the campaign trail, either we have a country or we don't. I think, unfortunately, people like Joaquin Castro don't really want the country the way that the border suggests it is. I wonder if they would ever be honest and just actually answer that question. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Bottom of the hour, it's going to be James O'Keefe. He's the boss over Project Veritas. He's done undercover videos for years now. The most recent ones are on Twitter. Are your direct messages safe on Twitter? Are other people reading them? Is Twitter saving them? Are you being ghost banned or shadow banned? What does that even mean? And why does James O'Keefe keep on doing things like this? We talked to him about all that and then some. Plus, he's got a brand new book out called America Pravda. It's very, very interesting. Make sure you stick around for that, too. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Stay here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
It is a Motown Monday, the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. On Facebook, go there and you can comment on some of the things that I've said. Also, the first and third hours I'm putting on there right now may end up streaming through a streaming service after this. But again, second hour always on Newsmax TV. First and third hours you can find over on Facebook. You can comment on there, share the page, do what you have to do. Also on Twitter, where there's a lot of shadow banning going on, Facebook does it too, where they don't spread the word. You can go there and actually go to the pages, facebook.com/Joe Talk Show. You'll see the actual posts because they're not going to be sent to your news feed. And on Twitter, twitter.com/Joe Talk Show, and you'll see it again on my page, what I've tweeted or retweeted or what I've commented on in your news feed. Likely not going to show up because, again, the shadow banning is going on. We'll explain what that is. Bottom of the hour with James O'Keefe, who investigated Twitter for Project Veritas and will blow your mind when you see what's on these videos. I urge you to go to projectveritas.com, and you'll see these videos, and pretty amazing what the engineers and what other people at Twitter admit they can do. All right, let's do some Trump tweets. Trump tweets. Okay. It's not as much fun without her complaining about it. This is from Friday. Yesterday was a big day for the stock market. Jobs are coming back to America. Chrysler is coming back to the USA from Mexico, and many others will follow. Tax cut money to employees is pouring into our economy, with many more companies announcing American business is hot again. He's absolutely right about that. On Saturday, the Democrats are all, actually, this is still Friday. The Democrats are all talk and no action. They're doing nothing to fix DACA. Great opportunity missed. Too bad. Actually, both of those tweets are from Saturday. Get my dates right here. All right, the next one is from 8:14 Saturday morning, America First. This one is from 9:20 on Saturday morning. I don't believe the Democrats really want to see a deal on DACA. They're all talk and no action. This is the time, but day by day, they're blowing the one great opportunity they have. Too bad. He's absolutely right. 100% right. Democrats don't want a deal on DACA. They don't. because they don't want to give him a political win. And they really don't care about these DACA people. They care more about their political power, might, and ability to obstruct. From yesterday, 7:58 in the morning, the Wall Street Journal stated falsely that I said to them, I have a good relationship with Kim Jong-un of North Korea. Obviously, I didn't say that. I said I'd have a good relationship with Kim Jong-un. A big difference. Fortunately, now we record conversations with reporters, and they know exactly what I said and meant. They just wanted a story, fake news. And also, this one goes back to Friday or Saturday afternoon. So much fake news is being reported, they don't even try to get it right or correct it when they're wrong. They promote the fake book of a mentally deranged author who knowingly writes false information. The mainstream media is crazed that we won the election. All right, a few more Trump tweets for you. This is from yesterday morning. DACA is probably dead because the Democrats don't really want it. Just want to talk about talk and take desperately needed money away from our military. Second one on DACA. And then at 8:19 yesterday, I, as president, want people coming into our country who are going to help us become strong and great again. People coming in through our system based on merit. No more lotteries. America first. And again, if you do America first on Twitter, they will shadow ban you. Oh, yeah. You're going to find out about that at the bottom of the hour. 8:50 yesterday morning, quote, President Trump is not getting the credit he deserves for the economy. Tax cut bonuses to more than 2 million workers. Most explosive stock market rally that we've seen in modern times. 18,000 to 26,000 from election and grounded in profitability and the growth. All Trump. He continues. Big unnecessary regulation cuts made it all possible, among many other things. President Trump reversed the policies of President Obama, reversed our economic decline. Thank you, Stuart Varney, at Fox and Friends. And we're not surprised that came from Fox and Friends. 7:57 this morning, statement by me last night in Florida. Honestly, I don't think the Democrats want to make a deal. They talk about DACA, but they don't want to help. We're ready, willing, and able to make a deal, but they don't want to. They don't want security at the border. They don't want to stop drugs. They want to take money away from our military, which we cannot do. My standard is very simple. America first, make America great again. Last Trump tweet for today is going to be from 10:06 this morning. Dr. King's dream is our dream. It is the American dream. It's the promise stitched into the fabric of our nation, etched into the hearts of our people, and written into the soul of mankind. All right? So there you go. Trump tweets for today. Thoughts on DACA? A lot of people lined up. And again, James O'Keefe at the bottom. Let me go to the phone line and say hello and welcome to line two is Mike in Minneapolis. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
Hey, Joe, good evening. I have two things to add to your show. You might recall talking to me last summer. I'm the guy that has the American-born wife with the illegal stepkids.
Okay. And, which I found stunning. I found that to be nuts that could even happen, but go ahead.
I know, it is ridiculous. So my stepson, he's 25, and he ended up getting that DACA work permit deal. And right now, he's got a great union job making almost $27 an hour, and he's moved out of the house. Oh, thank God. Good. But I tell you, if he loses his work permit and they say he's got to come back home, oh, man, I tell you, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Mike, I feel for you. But see, here's the thing. You guys in Minnesota, for some reason, your neighbors anyway, keep on electing these Democrat dorks. Tell the Democrats to do the right thing.
Right. And here's my second thing for you. So my wife talked to her mother over the weekend, who does live on the Mexican side in Reynosa in the war-torn area. And the news from that other side is that I guess the cartels are really looking forward to DACA not passing. Because I guess they're really low on young men to work in the industry, in the cartel industry. And the fact that a lot of these kids have, you know, strong American accents and they are going to be so desperate to get back here. I guess they're looking to take a hold of these young men if they get deported or come back because they can't work or whatever.
Well, Mike, let me see how clearly I can say this. The 800,000 aren't going back. That's not going to happen. Congress is dominated by Republicans, both in the Senate by a slim majority and the House by a much bigger majority. They will vote to put this in there and fund the wall, and it'll be sent to President Trump, and it'll be taken care of. The Democrats don't want DACA to get done. They want something to complain about this guy about. He wants to have it done. Your son's not moving, your stepson's not moving back in, and the cartels can all kiss my ass. How about that?
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, I know they need a permanent underclass with our agenda and the economy coming. There's not going to be from an underclass because we need them and to work legally and pay taxes legally. And, things are, I have faith that it's going to be okay. But, the family is a little nervous, but we're all right.
No, I can understand why. I got to run here. Listen, I can understand why, certainly. But, again, there are majorities in the House and Senate by Republicans, and I'm sure they can figure out a way to get this done. Andy, 30 seconds. That's all I have. Make it happen.
Okay. The argument I have is, say, President Obama wrote the DACA bill or DACA executive order, and say 1 month later, for whatever reason, he says, you know what, I gotta rescind it. Would that judge come back out and say, nope, you can't rescind it, you gotta wait for your full 2 years?
That's
great point. Andy, excellent point. For those who didn't hear my interview with Ilhan Wurman, we talked about this idiot judge out in San Francisco who said you can't overturn Obama's executive order, which is untrue. Of course you can. But what if Obama would have gone back to overturn it? They would have let him because, again, anything Obama did was gold. Anything Trump does, he's a racist. All right, quick break here. When we come back, it's going to be James O'Keefe. He's the boss over Project Veritas. Go to projectveritas.com. His new book is out tomorrow, America Pravda. You're going to want to hear this interview. Stick around.
Joe Pags.
Very sure.
Great radio stations across the land. Die Heart Radio, joepags.com. Also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride. Really glad to have back from Project Veritas. It's James O'Keefe. James, how are you?
Great to be with you, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man, the amazing work continues. These videos that you've now put out on Twitter will completely boggle the mind. But before I get there, I want to tell people about your new book. It's out tomorrow, called American Pravda, My Fight for the Truth in the Era of Fake News. My Fight for Truth in the Era of Fake News. I want everybody to go and get that. I want to go to something different than the videos in the book, though, to start out. I watched an interview that some guy from Mediaite, I think, was doing with you.
Right.
And I've got 5 children. The smallest one is 2. And the guy was asking questions of you, the same question over and over, much like my 2-year-old says, why? 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 How did you stay cool through that? You kept on giving him the answer in a different way every time. And then you finally said, dude, what do you want me to say? You know, when you get somebody like that where you know he's got an agenda, how do you handle that?
That's the he sent through this so many times. I've been on the air. I've had George Stephanopoulos call me a white supremacist on the air. I mean, you have to maintain your composure. Don't get angry unless it's on purpose. And a lot of these journalists, their premise about you is false. So if you don't give them what they want, they can't fathom that. Now, what I did, Joe, is I actually filmed that audio, that interview myself.
Yeah.
I don't think he kind of realized there was a camera in the back of the room zoomed in. He thought he was going to do like a little notepad interview and doctor out quotes. And I film all of the interviews now. And I don't think he, so what he's trying to do, he's not a newspaper reporter, he's a media reporter.
Yeah.
He's trying to find that one bit that's going to make his story. Like O'Keefe confirms or denies that he supports Ray Moore or some crap. And I was saying, listen, I reject your premise. I'm not an expert on that election. My story wasn't about that election, and he wasn't getting what he wanted. So he's like having a little 2-year-old tantrum. And how you deal with it is you express indignation at the journalist and you say, I'm not going to play your games. It's not binary. It's not a yes or no question. You have to push back on the journalist is what we have to do.
I think what you do, and it's projectveritas.com. Go there. It's James O'Keefe. His book is American Pravda, My Fight for Truth in the Era of Fake News. Many people will say journalism is dead, but it's not. You've proven that it isn't dead. Although you've got April Ryan yelling at the president, are you a racist? Because that's a journalistic question somehow. But the work that you do truly is a throwback to real journalism. What got you started? Why did you think that there was a space for you? And did you know that you'd be attacked like you've been attacked?
Well, it is a throwback to real journalism. I've been reading about 2 biographies of Upton Sinclair and, you know, some of the deception that was used by investigative reporters to unmask the truth. I mean, these journalists would basically use any means necessary to get to the truth because the greatest virtue was to tell the truth and shame the devil. That's what people always believed. They always believed in empowering people by giving them information. These days, it seems they want to deny people the information and for economic and political reasons. And it used to be the case that I've read a lot of books in the last year or two to research for this book. It used to be the case that in muckrakers used to expose. I mean, can you imagine an investigative reporter today exposing welfare abuse?
Never.
You'd be called a racist.
Right.
But they won Pulitzer Prizes at the Chicago Sun-Times. They won Pulitzer Prizes for exposing voter fraud in 1970. Can you imagine that today? Yeah. Someone exposing. So it's almost like the sacred cows, the sanctimonious beasts of the Fourth Estate. There are sacred cows that you cannot touch. And it's not just politics. I think it's a lot of economic reasons. There's sort of monopolies, these corporations that are afraid because it's too expensive for them to challenge the narrative. So the irony is that, you know, I had to start a nonprofit organization and I had to go out and put it on my credit card. It's almost like a comedy. It's an extraordinary series of events when some young 25-year-old kid with a Sony handy camera breaks a story with his video camera, his grandmother's chinchilla coat, and takes down Acorn, and the New York Times has to be like dragged kicking and screaming to cover the story. Truth is stranger than fiction. And if you read this book, American Pravda, you will laugh, you will cry, you will be amazed, your mouth will drop. And, you know, it's the day and age we live in.
American Pravda is the name of the book, and the subtitle is My Fight for Truth in the Era of Fake News. James O'Keefe is the author and the man from Project Veritas. You took down Acorn by pretending to be a pimp who was trafficking underage prostitutes. And is that okay? And the woman was like, yeah, sure, we can get that done. So you took them down. You went after CNN and exposed the inner workings of CNN, that they know that the Russia collusion thing is fake. Yep. But they have to get back to it as soon as they can. Now you've gone after social media. James, I always had the belief, and I'm a pretty smart guy, and I'm a former journalist, whether you know it or not. I was a TV news anchor for 15 years, and I won many, many journalism awards of excellence. I know how to do it, but what you've done is a step beyond. What you've uncovered, I always assumed on Twitter, my direct messages were private, and my direct messages, I always thought that if I deleted something, it went away, and nobody was keeping it and tracking me. You've exposed something that billions of people on social media had no clue about. What gave you the insight that they might be doing this?
I think, you know, part of being a good investigative reporter is having your ear to the ground about what the people care about and what the stories are of vital public interest and where you may suspect wrongdoing and you may suspect. I mean, Pam Zekman of the Chicago Sun-Times wrote a piece in the 1970s where she talked about, or I think it was the 1980s, where she talked about, you know, what makes something of vital public interest? Well, it's some action needs to be taken by government or a corporation is abusing its consumers. I don't know if the government should regulate Twitter. It's a private company.
Yeah.
But I think the users need to understand what they're getting involved in. I think half of the people have no idea that when you send someone a private text direct message on these platforms, that there are hundreds of engineers who are perusing your messages and bragging about the ability to share them and to look at you as you, like, let's say you take a selfie and you send it to your wife.
Right.
Or, I mean, I don't do this, but I guess many Americans, you know, take a picture with their shirt off or something.
Yeah.
And they're actually engineers in foreign countries pointing and laughing at you. That's something you should know about. And by the way, one of the guys says he shares it with the Department of Justice and he's bragging about that. And Apple publicly said they would never cooperate with the DOJ to give over a report. And they were applauded. And by the way, Joe, a lot of it is just, I think, a hatred of me. And symbolically, they hate the fact that they've been scooped. You know, that's a tale as old as time. Newspaper men hate when other competitors break big stories. They get jealous and competitive. And at the end of the day, they give us lectures about journalism ethics. They attack me for being unethical. I mean, they have all of the vices they claim that I have and none of the virtues. They sit in cubicles all day reading off teleprompters. they never leave their damn penthouse apartments. And my guys are out in the field for months on end digging. So listen, it's a big story. It's probably the big one on Twitter. And I think doing this for the rest of my life and the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice.
It's James O'Keefe, ProjectVeritas.com. Go there and you can pre-order American Pravda or wait for tomorrow. The subtitle is My Fight for Truth in the Era of Fake News. You exposed something. I'd heard of shadow banning and ghost banning and things like that before, but there was really no proof of it. On Facebook, I grew to about 165,000 followers almost, you know, overnight, and then it stopped. And now I lose 80 people a day, and nobody knows why. And people say that they're just unliked from my page. They took no action, but the Facebook algorithm is literally taking them off following me. On Twitter, if I tweet something that gets no action, I always thought, wasn't that cool a tweet? People didn't like it. Turns out you now exposed that Twitter and the inner workings of Twitter will look at it and say, that's from that guy. He likes America first. He likes Trump, or he's got MAGA in his profile. We're not going to show this to anybody. He just thinks his tweet sucked. In truth, it disappeared.
So one of the things, Joe, that the engineer said in the second video released Thursday is he said they find keywords that correlate to a specific topic, like you say. If there's, you know, algorithms, they call them machine learning, they take keywords. Let's say you like the American flag or you're, you know, a self-described redneck. Redneck is kind of a derogatory word for flyover country.
Yeah.
So the engineers, what they do is they create these algorithms that have all these keywords, and then they tell the machine to shadow ban, in their words, or to mute the information off of your friend's timelines if your tweets contain those words. And they're bragging about it. So for the first time,
the user have no idea.
Well, the users, now they do.
Yeah,
sure, I mean, they'd have more of an idea if Jake Tapper at CNN would talk about it.
Yeah.
If they were doing this to, like, African-American people or, I don't know, people who
DACA recipients,
there would be congressional investigations. But what's happening is that, you know, our country's, you know, and people are so hopeless and they despair about this and they say, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? I say, we're doing it.
Yeah,
you know, it's the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one single step. I mean, you have on this is maybe one of the most amazing stories we've ever broken. And what you can do is you can tweet at Jack Dorsey and you can say, hey, Jack, go ahead and make your algorithms public. We have to put shame on these people. Investigative reporting is about patrolling the boundaries of what is morally acceptable and testing and affirming what is an outrage to the American people. And right now, the reason the mainstream media is so silent is because they know this is bulletproof. Yeah. They know that they can't spin this. That's why you know this is a win. And that's why you have to keep promoting.
Well, instead of spinning it, it's American Pravda is the name of the book. Get it? American Pravda, my fight for the truth. In the era of fake news. I keep throwing an extra the in there. It's my fight for truth in the era of fake news. James O'Keefe is the author, projectveritas.com. It is bulletproof. It's above reproach. So they've said that you've been charged with felonies. They've said that you alter the videos to make it look like you want it to look. Again, as you said earlier, you've been called a white supremacist, basically to your face. And none of this is verifiable. In fact, a lot of it is libelous or slanderous. Have you thought about taking action against people that say things like this to you? Or let's just keep doing the work.
I think it's like, let's keep doing the work. I have sued people for defamation. The felon thing, they can't say that. That's not, no one can say that factually without getting sued for defamation. Right. And I have. Right. I'm not a convicted felon. The white supremacist thing, they had to print that retraction. I've been accused of selectively editing, but that's just hyperbole and obfuscation.
Yeah.
All journalism is selectively edited. In fact, all journalism is conducted with single sourced and anonymous sourced sources that are not on tape. And the Michael Wolff book was admittedly filled with sort of dramatic interpretation of events without any actual source.
It's what he believes the truth to be.
And you know what? Yeah. That's fine. That's been this par for journalism for decades. And I'm not knocking journalists for using their recollection. But don't knock me for quoting people. I have them on the record. They confirm. They all get fired, by the way. Twitter actually confirmed the first guy said what he said. They said he's an isolated employee, rogue employee. So it's just like, well, then I released 8 rogue employees. It just seems like the standard. And then the Washington Post reports, well, we have no reason to believe that the people in Wolf's book did not say the things that were said. What type of illogical BS is that? I have people dead to rights on tape and you're saying we don't believe you. You don't have anyone on tape and you're saying there's no evidence that suggests it didn't happen. So we live in a twisted, messed up propaganda vortex. And the only way, Joe, to beat them is to keep going and to increase in frequency. And Joe, what will happen is that people, the citizens of this country, by the way, they lost the election. They lost the election. They put all their chips on the table for Hillary.
Right.
The people of this country are going to say, I don't believe you guys because I believe the evidence of my eyes and ears. That's what I believe. That's what George Orwell said.
Well, and I'm with you. And the work that you do is amazing, James. And I've been very proud to follow your career and to have you on the show a few times. Last question, quick answer if you can. By the way, the book is American Pravda. Get it tomorrow. James O'Keefe is the author. They're trying to start a fight between you and President Trump. Fill me in on that. I mean, how does that work in their favor?
I don't know. They're trying to lie about my meeting with him. That's all they've got. I don't think they're succeeding, or I don't think they're effective. But when I met with Trump, he talked about the idea of exposing Barack Obama's records at Columbia University. I thought it was a good idea.
Should know by now. Absolutely.
Perhaps Obama misled about where he was from or what his intentions were, and that was a good idea. So I reported
that. They alleged that you started the birther thing up again with Trump, was the birther even talked about?
The birther wasn't even – I said in the book explicitly when I met with Trump that there was no birther anything. It was actually – Trump actually believed that Obama was born in the United States, and he shared that with me. It was really more about exposing what Obama's academic background was. That's what it was about. But the media has nothing better to do, and I called them out. I called out Oliver Darcy at CNN. I mean, what a bunch of scumbags. I mean, for them to ignore this Twitter story and come after me and mischaracterize my writing in the book. So people should read the book for themselves. Don't believe a single word you hear on CNN.
It is James O'Keefe. We always appreciate his time. We appreciate him stopping by. And, you know, you go out and get the book. It's pretty interesting. We're back after this on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
This is Radio 1200 WOAI.
Oh, yeah, baby. Hiya. That's a Motown Monday, the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. Thanks for stopping by. Plenty of time for your phone calls, your email, your social media posts, all that and more. Right here at joepags.com and 1-800-383-9624. Glad to hear from you today. Full phone lines, we'll get to you in a second. Let me remind you about your blood pressure, though. You think about your blood pressure much? should be worried about, should be thinking about it, certainly. One of the keys to heart health and overall well-being. And if you're looking for a way to help support healthy blood pressure levels with a simple lifestyle change, good news for you. There's a super vegetable that's great for your heart. It's called beets. Now, listen, I don't love the taste of beets, but you don't taste beets. You get a really great fruity taste when you take Super Beets. It's a convenient way to get the benefits of beets every single day. Super Beets provides a nutrient that helps support healthy blood pressure by working with the body's own natural system. So Super Beets is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. You're going to like this. So if you want to maintain healthy blood pressure, call 1-800-516-8389. 1-800-516-8389 or joelovesbeets.com. Joelovesbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beets free, plus indicator strips to see how Super Beets is working for you, and free shipping. Again, 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeets.com. Appreciate you sticking around. It was a really, really good time interviewing James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe is a guy that just doesn't care. When I say that, I mean that in a good way. Hashtag, he don't care. He's going to go in, he'll dress up as a pimp, he'll dress up as a professor, he'll dress up as somebody applying for a job at Twitter. Doesn't care. He's going to get himself in or his operatives in, and they're going to get the real story for you. And that's what journalism used to be. Today, journalism is, does this political party or this political class agree with what you're about to write? If not, then they can't write it. Well, O'Keefe is going to be attacked. I'm going to be attacked. People like those of us who want the truth to be out there are going to be attacked. And you have to know who the attackers are and then understand their agenda. We go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to Eric in California. Eric, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, a couple of things. You know, we've been having problems enforcing the laws that we have already on the books. And one of the big problems is we've generated a lot of carrots or bonuses for people that steal their way into the United States. And now they're trying to get them voting. One of the problems we have on top of that is these people need to support themselves. They need a job, and I have a perfect job for them. Let's put them to work building the wall. And then we build them what they would get hourly from Mexico, give them credit for that, and have Mexico pay for their work. I mean, it's pretty simple. I haven't heard anybody say, well, what do we do with all these people? We feed them. We give them clothing. We give them, they get everything they need to, you know, to go to survive in this country. And we ask nothing from them. And if, what the real.
Well, listen, Eric, I got to tell you, it's not a horrible idea, though you can never really put that into action. Having said that, you mentioned something about, you know, they want them to have the right to vote. If Democrats really cared about the DACA people, and they don't, I gave the example of Joaquin Castro earlier, if they really cared about them, they would say, they would accept this deal. They can stay here forever. They just never get the right to vote. They'd never agree to that. Got to go on TV. We continue on radio. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Padgett.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. All right there, the Joe Pags Show, coming your way for a Monday. It's a Motown Monday. That's how we do. Glad to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot. Polo's over there. Carrie went home, wasn't feeling well. Karina on the phones. My pleasure to have you here. Lots to get to this hour. Lots to talk about. Lots that I want to make sure that we come to an understanding as great people hanging out together. If you live in Maryland, good news. Soon, you could vote for Bradley Manning, who's now going by Chelsea Manning, I think senator. This is awesome. I had no idea how awesome this was. So you can be convicted of being basically a spy, stealing classified information, putting it out there. And then you'd still be in prison had former President Obama not let you out, gave you clemency for some reason. And now you're going to run for office. Now, I could be wrong because I'm not a lawyer. Don't even play one on the radio. But I'm pretty sure, being a convicted felon, he, who's now calling himself she, cannot vote for him or herself. I just want to throw that out there. This person, already delusional in many ways, has proven a level of delusion that even I didn't see coming. The Hill writes the story. The Hill writes the story and says Chelsea the entire story. And I guess you're going to have people call you whatever you want them to call you, but also says her and she the entire story too. So keep that in mind. I'm probably not going to correct it, but the person going by Chelsea Manning, now running for Senate, this is from The Hill. Chelsea Manning has released the first campaign ad in her bid for a Maryland Senate seat. The transgender activist and former soldier filed to run for Senate on Thursday, but confirmed the bid with a campaign ad she posted to Twitter on Sunday. Quote, "We live in trying times, times of fear, of suppression, hate," Manning says, as images of the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, and protesters clashing with police are shown. "We don't need more or better leaders. We need someone willing to fight," she continues. The ad then shows images of lawmakers, including Democrats, meeting with President Trump. "We need to stop expecting that our systems will somehow fix themselves. We need to actually take the reins of power from them," Manning said. "We need to challenge this at every level. We need to fix this. We don't need them anymore. We can do better. You're damn right we got this," she says to end the ad, using her well-known hashtag, "We got this." I didn't know that was a well-known hashtag. Manning also tweeted a link for campaign contributions. Manning will run against Senator Ben Cardin, Democrat from Maryland, in the November Democratic primary. The whistleblower was sentenced to 35 years for releasing confidential military and State Department documents, but former President Obama commuted her sentence to 7 years. Listen, if you're going to pretend to be a journalist, who wrote this piece of garbage? Jacqueline Thompson, whoever that is. Jacqueline Thompson. You need to start the story out with not the whistleblower. Bradley Manning wasn't a whistleblower. Bradley Manning was somebody who violated the law big time. Big time. Badly. Egregiously. Well, which of the campaign slogan be, Polo?
I'm just saying, I mean, I'm sure there's like a lot left over from Hillary Clinton's campaign with the whole "I'm with her." You know, they
come
could,
on, man.
They could just recycle it and, you know.
That'd be good. I'm with her. Yeah. Or so he says so. I don't know.
Yes.
But the story needs to be led with Manning was sentenced to 35 years to federal prison. And again, the way the writer writes it is 35 years for releasing confidential military State Department documents. No, for stealing them. Classified documents. Stealing them. And then spreading them out to the world. Come on, dude. Manning has been a visible activist, the writer writes, for LGBTQ rights and other causes since her release. She would become the first openly transgender member of Congress if elected to the Senate. Danica Rome became the first openly transgender state legislator with her election win in Virginia in November. Isn't that awesome? That is so awesome that Bradley confused to be Chelsea, who's a thieving thief of confidential and military documents, who was sentenced to 35 years in prison and then commuted to 7 years by Obama. Isn't that sweet that he, she can now be the first transgender senator ever? That's awesome. Other than being completely unqualified and other than being not able to vote for him or herself, what the hell is this person thinking? It may be a new segment that I'll start up. What the hell is this person thinking? Listen, that could sweep the nation. And this is, quite frankly, Obama's America. This is the vision he had. The vision he had was steal from the government, release the documents, be sentenced, I'll commute you, run for election, you should probably represent the people. Let me just ask you this, you might agree with this person's politics, which I don't even know what they are. Sounds like anarchy to me. But is this a person you want representing you? Somebody with that background, with that history? Forget the whole, you know, mental confusion about science and sex. Forget that. Is this the person you want to trust to represent your neighborhood, your family, your state, really? Maryland? 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Some calls on James O'Keefe. I interviewed him bottom of last hour, and Project Veritas continues to uncover a lot of bad corporate action and a lot of bad government action. Going to be Marie in New Jersey. Marie, what's going on?
Yes, I absolutely love James O'Keefe. in Veritas. I think that his book should be awesome. And he mentioned George Orwell. And when he mentioned that name, it reminded me of a book that I read when I was in high school, and I'm over 50 now, but I will never forget that book. I recommend that book to everyone to read. It was mandatory. It gave me nightmares for 2 weeks. And it's like the vision that, you know, that I saw back then reading this book is like the vision that I'm seeing what they wanted for this country now. And I really recommend this book for everyone that didn't read it in high school.
Are you talking about 1984?
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what they want this country to be.
Yes. And I read that when I was in high school, and I'm over 50. So this is what I'm seeing now. And that gave me nightmares back then when I was a young girl. I said, oh, my God, how could this ever happen to a country or to us, you know? And it's happening now. And another book that I absolutely love is William Cooper. And he was killed. He was assassinated. Behold a Pale Horse. You have to get that book. People have to educate themselves, self-educate, and you'll be awakened. You don't even have to go to college. Just read these books, and you'll see what they have, their agenda, the fascism, the socialism, and what awaits us if we don't wake up.
I got you, Marie. We always appreciate you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Your thoughts on Chelsea / Bradley Manning running for U.S. Senator? We definitely want to hear from you on that and much, much more to come. We've got a couple of calls, one on the Pope's immigration comments. We'll take Mike in Staten Island when we come back. And also, Diane wants to talk about James O'Keefe. Joe Pag Show, coming right back.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
WOAI is an iHeart radio station.
Hi, great to have you. A Motown Monday, the Joe Pags Show. Thanks. Hey, Paul, I'm big enough to admit that I heard some people on the radio earlier today talking about football. And I'm big enough to admit that I've missed it for the past 2 years. It sucks not watching NFL football, but I'm not going to give in to a bunch of crybaby whiners who are making more money in one season than most of us will make in our entire lives. Not going to do it. Not going to give in. They need to stand and show respect to our flag and our national anthem. You want to protest before or after the game? Whatever. Before the actual activity where you're wearing a uniform? Fine. But I got to admit, man, it sounds like the end of the Minnesota Vikings game was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
You happen to watch that?
Yeah, I've seen clips of it and stuff. It's pretty crazy.
It sounded like the Saints had it in the bag and then they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you just
all you had to do is not let the guy score, and then he did.
Yeah, and just not tackle
again.
The wind. Yeah,
didn't see it.
Yeah,
didn't see it. It's interesting because some people actually still go to my Facebook page and to my social media by Twitter and all that, and they'll actually say, "I know Pags is probably watching football today." No, not. I'm quite literally not. I'm not doing a radio bit where I'm like, "Yeah, I'm gonna watch that football," and then I watch it every day. I don't know how the Dolphins did this year. I know the Dolphins, I guess they're donating money to some social justice warrior scholarship. I saw that in my news feed today. Yay, Dolphins, continue to be stupid. And again, you want to offer scholarships, to the community, God bless you, but to call it a social justice warrior scholarship? What the hell are you doing? So, I don't know. I know that the Vikings are in the playoffs, and I now know that New Orleans was, and I heard the Steelers were, and I don't know if they won or lost, but that's I don't know any of the other teams that are in. I don't know what the playoffs look. Are they the playoffs now, or is this the end of the regular season?
No, they're next is the NFC and AFC conference championships.
So then, so we're gonna find out who's going to the Super Bowl after those games.
Yep.
Okay. There you go. I don't know. I guess Minnesota could. I know that much. But other than that, I haven't been watching. And again, I'm big enough to admit I really wish I were. I wish that they wouldn't politicize it. It's like my Spurs. And I don't know if the Spurs won or lost today because they played earlier, and this is the first game that I missed this year. Do you know if they won or lost? They played Atlanta. I know that in Atlanta, I believe.
I do not.
At last I heard it was like tied at like 87 or 89, so I don't know. I don't know. But I love my Spurs, and I continue to go to the games. I've been outspoken about what the coach has had to say, and could be a coincidence, maybe not. I have not been invited to play the national anthem this year, and that's fine. I don't have to. I go to the games and enjoy the hell out of them or watch them on television. But I don't get it. Some reported the other day in a post-game interview with Coach Popovich says, you know, playing on Monday, is that a special thing? Does it have different meaning because of the times in which we live? What? The times in which we live. And, of course, Pop, who hates answering any question from any reporter ever, loves talking about the times in which we live or the current president, says something to the effect of, you know, if we need MLK today, he would gather and have peaceful protests and he'd do something about this. He would do something about this. What? What would he do about it? What would he do about a president that said we should take care of America first? What would he do about a president that is offering more opportunity to everybody of every race, every color, every background, every creed, every ethnicity? Nothing that Trump has done so far is for the white people. It's for everybody, every American, which is what Martin Luther King Jr. wanted. He wanted every American to have the same opportunity, every American to be treated fairly and equally. And that's what it appears Trump is doing. Even if he did call those other countries blank holes, and he says he didn't, and now who is it who came back and said, no, he didn't say that. Somebody said he did say it, and now they're saying they didn't say it. The whole thing is confusing. What I know is that the reporter who exposed it never heard it, and they're all just continuing to say it. But, you know, how about this? Coach the basketball team. Win as many games as you possibly can for the city, for the fans, for your owner. And stop it with the political BS. Because as smart as I know that Coach Pop is, and he's hands down the best coach I've ever seen coach basketball, politically speaking, he comes off as really, really without knowledge. Comes off really, really ignorant. And then I hearken back to the picture of him sitting with Bill Clinton and Julian Castro and Henry Cisneros, yucking it up and laughing over a glass of water. It reminds me of who he is. He's a political animal when it comes to things like this. So I don't think he's dumb enough to believe the propaganda out there about Trump, but he's smart enough to know that he's going to get a lot of people to listen to him and agree with him if he continues persisting this way. Very, very strange. Now I'm not going to stop watching the Spurs. I love my Spurs. And they're not kneeling for the national anthem, and Pop has every right to have an opinion. It just gets tiresome to see how much he loathes talking to the media. I mean, to the point to where if you watch the local broadcast of Spurs games, a lot of you live in a lot of towns where you've got a National Basketball Association team, an NBA team, whether it be, you know, Portland or Denver. I mean, a lot of you listening have big-time NBA teams where you are. Many of the broadcasts locally, you'll hear from the coach, you know, at halftime. Or at the end of the game, you know, a quick interview before he walks off the court. Locally here on Fox Sports Southwest and on the local affiliates when they have it, when they come out of halftime, the reporter, and it's generally speaking Andrew Monaco, he's just a great guy, I think he's excellent, will say, well, assistant coach James Borrego said, well, why didn't you get a chance to talk to Pop? Then after the game, it's hit and miss. You might get him, you might not. And if you do get it, I mean, he's going to give you a look. If it's a question that he doesn't want to answer, he's going to give you a look, you're stupid. But somebody says, Trump, boy, he'll go for 5-10 minutes. And again, this reporter asking about playing basketball on the commemoration of MLK and in the times in which we live was a clear opening for the coach to once again attack the sitting president of the United States. Very strange to me. I just wish sports would be sports and politics could be politics. We're all Americans. We're all affected by the way things go. I get that. But there's a double standard here. Because trust me when I say there are conservatives and Republicans who play football and basketball and who coach football and basketball teams. And those Republicans or conservatives, generally speaking, maybe one in a blue moon, were not speaking out against President Obama and the ridiculous, I mean horrific, horrific policies of the Obama administration. They weren't. They were shut down by the media. They were not covered if they did say something. If they said something, they were immediately called racist. But you can say anything you want about this president. And a guy who has a history of disdain for the media cannot get to a camera and microphone fast enough when it's about politics and this president. It's very weird. It just is. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. To the phone lines, Diane is in San Antonio about James O'Keefe. Hi, Diane. What's going on?
Hey, Joe. Good to talk to you. I just want to say one thing first. I totally agree with you about keeping politics out of sports. That is two things that shouldn't be crossed. But what I wanted to talk about with James O'Keefe, you know, everybody keeps talking about Twitter and Facebook and how things are slanted and not fair. Why hasn't somebody conservative but fair, just come up with a different version of Twitter and Facebook so that everybody can put their own thoughts out there and not have it be taken down and not have it be whatever it is they do? I don't understand the algorithms and everything else that they do with it. But yeah, why hasn't somebody else just come up with a different version that everybody else can get on and have it be publicized and have it be fair?
It's an excellent question. They have. There are a couple out there. One's called Gab.ai. I was on there for a while. It didn't fit my needs. The audience didn't grow hardly at all in 6 or 8 months. And I found that to be weird. And I really couldn't figure out what it was that they were doing. And I would send people there, you know, where I've got 367,000 on Facebook. On Gab.ai, I had 1,200 people. So it's about getting the message out to as many people as you can and telling fans, hey, here's where you can hear the show, or here's where you can, when we're going to do this. That didn't work out. There's another one called Minds.com, M-I-N-D-S.com. And I'm on there. I've got about 35,000 followers on there. But again, the growth rate on these other sites is very, very difficult to deal with because on Facebook and Twitter, they've hit critical mass and people immediately go there. So convincing everybody else to go to an alternative site, that's the hard part, especially when you're a guy like me where I've already got a show and I've already got things that I want to promote and talk about. I think you've got a great idea. Let me say this. I just don't think the right one has popped up yet, and I hope that it does. I really do, Diane. Quick break here. We're back after this in the Joe Pag Show.
Very sure.
Great to have you. Wonderful radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more. It's the Joe Pags Show. Make sure you stop by all the social media. Like and follow and do all that other stuff and comment and share and all that. 20 years ago was the Lewinsky scandal. 20 years ago. Can you believe that? 20 years ago. And Drudge, I think, which was really put on the map because of its reporting on the Lewinsky scandal, is that's the lead of the thing. It's actually above the lead. Lewinsky scandal turns 20. Where are they now? Tripp says she has no regrets. That's Linda Tripp. CNN flashback, race to the bottom. Paper, Drudge is world's most powerful journalist. Some newspaper said that. 20 years ago, the scandal broke. And the then president, as we now know, lied under oath, was impeached because of it, Bill Clinton, was found not guilty, which was kind of ridiculous if the charge really was perjury. He definitely did. Lied to the American people very seriously. I did not have sex with that woman. Then later said, I did. It's a private matter. None of your damn business. Blue dresses and all sorts of stuff. 20 years ago, if you can believe that. Of course, that's nowhere near the scandal that today is because Trump won the election. That, for some reason, is a bigger scandal that Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton. The fact that Hillary Clinton was even running after the scandal that she protected her husband in, and he was impeached, and that she almost won. I mean, dude, that makes your face hurt. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you waiting, Mike, in Staten Island. What's going on? Staten Island, hi.
Hi, Joe. Calling in from the last frontier of the People's Republic of de Blasioville.
Yeah, I can't believe you guys reelected that guy. I mean, come on, man.
Well, out here on Staten Island, 60% of the people voted, but the rest of the city, only 20% voted. So who was it, Jefferson?
Wow.
Said you get what you vote for? Or words to that effect? So we got him. Anyhow, I wanted to talk about hypocrisy of the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. As a Catholic, I value the teachings of Jesus. Jesus would have taught us to be compassionate to those who are less than us, but he would have taught us by words, but most importantly, by actions. The hierarchy of the Catholic Church does nothing but a lecture. We have a cardinal. His name is Dolan here in New York. He preaches to us that we need to be tolerant of aliens, of immigrants, but he refuses to use the word legal or illegal. Now, there are many illegal aliens in New York, clearly. He is closing churches, closing Catholic schools, and they closed this big retreat center called Mount Man Resta. Had about 16, 17 buildings on it. The buildings were composed of living quarters, classrooms, gymnasium, kitchen, and dining facilities. He's preaching to us that we should be tolerant and help out those less fortunate than us.
He closed that down and sold it for $14 million because he wanted the money. He's a hypocrite. He should have used.
Well, I mean, I don't think you put the money in his pocket, though, if that's what you're suggesting. But I do want to go back to what you said. We should take care of people who are less fortunate. I agree with that. I grew up Catholic. I'm non-denominational Christian now, and I believe in the words of Jesus as well. Having said that, the Bible also says that you should follow the rules of the government. And the whole idea that we can't have a law that the Catholic Church somehow disagrees with, which doesn't make any sense, unless Cardinal Dolan is saying, let's open up the borders and let everybody in willy-nilly have a nice day. I agree with them helping. Just let me finish, and I'll let you say whatever you want.
Sorry.
I agree with the Catholic Church helping those who are in need, feeding them, maybe clothing them, and maybe housing them, you know, giving them a bed for a while. But I disagree, and I think they're going against the Bible, when Catholic Charities and others decide they should also stay here for good. No, they should help them out as much as they can, and then help the government with a rightful law in sending them back and telling them to come back the right way. I believe the Catholic Church, quite literally, is going against the teachings of the Bible by harboring people who have broken our laws. Go ahead.
Joe, I agree with you. Now, the reason I bring up this Mount Manresa site was that there are immigrants who are in a dire straits, and the church could put them right temporarily, like you said, by giving them a place to eat, a place to sleep that's nice, rather than letting 20 people sleeping in a three-room apartment, which is what they're doing now. But instead, right, the church is selling it to get money. Dolan is encouraging it. They're selling the property to private developers, and they're using the money for whatever reasons. I don't think Dolan's taking it for himself. No, of course not. But he's using it for whatever he's using it. But he's not taking care of the people that he claims he wants us to take care of. Before you bother us middle-income people to contribute more to take care of people, you know what? Do it yourself, too. You had that property. You have those churches. Convert them. Use them for something. Take these people out of the streets that they're living in, and then if you want to teach them and send them back to their home countries and then bring them back, teach them how to get here, teach them a trade, teach them stuff, I'm all for it. But put your money where your mouth is. Before you ask me to give up part of my lousy $50,000 a year, give up some of that $14 million that you got for that property.
I got you. No, look, Mike, I'm with you. I hear you. And again, I don't know about this $14 million property. I don't live in Staten Island. But having said that, one of the reasons why I'm not Catholic anymore, and people ask me this all the time, is because I don't think a church should accrue that much wealth either. It just doesn't seem to make sense to me. And with this Pope, I mean, the previous popes weren't like this. This Pope, he just seems to be extremely left-wing to me. And I'm not sure that I get that. If Jesus were on earth today, he would not be a liberal. He would be conservative. He would be somebody who doesn't believe in aborting unborn children. He was a person that doesn't believe punish accomplishment and reward people who don't even try. That doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. So the whole thing is very confusing to me. But he's right. You should help the less fortunate. I'm not arguing that point. I think everybody should. We have plenty, so we should be able to help those who are in dire straits. But it's got to be temporary. If it's not temporary, suddenly we take away the wherewithal and the intestinal fortitude and the gumption and the ability to strive and achieve. You know, for the person you give everything to or who you give handouts to, that's not even everything. You take away their incentive to go and do what I believe God intended them to do. You take a look at places like the projects or Section 8 housing or food stamps or Social Security disability for people who don't really need it. Why would they go and try to change anything there? So what? We only have single parent households now in certain communities. So what? I still get my check. You're disincentivizing people and disenfranchising them, really, from the true American dream that way. The Catholic Church isn't helping by harboring people. You're helping by feeding and clothing and giving a place to lay your head down at night until such a time as they go back and come here legally. You're not proving to be more Christian because you're averting our laws somehow. It's weird. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. It's Sue in Alaska. Sue, what's going on? Hi.
Hi, Joe. Just wanted to tell you my husband loves you like a brother.
Oh, I love him right back. Now, what part of Alaska?
We're down in Homer.
Now, is that going to be near Anchorage or near Fairbanks?
That's about 4 hours from Anchorage. And no, it's a lot closer to Fairbanks than Anchorage.
Okay.
No, a lot closer to Anchorage than Fairbanks, yeah.
Okay, yeah, we're on it. We're on in both places now, yeah.
Yeah, Kenai Peninsula, so.
Awesome. Talk to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just feel like maybe these DACA kids should think about organizing and be out demonstrating and waving signs in support of President Trump's and the Republicans' comprehensive immigration approach.
Because
What?
Oh, stop it. You're so silly. Come on.
I know. Well, hey, you know, I mean, everybody else is out demonstrating. And why not recognize that any common sense, comprehensive immigration approach is going to have any common sense study of the roadblocks to immigration reform for decades points out that border security must precede paths to successful immigrant participation in the U.S. It's been a roadblock forever. And so I just hope that a lot of the people that do want to be immigrated to our country will recognize that this has just been a constant problem. We need security because the American people aren't willing to proceed until this happens.
I think you've got a great idea. It's never going to happen. Don't hold your breath. You will not have the DACA, and they're not kids, the DACA people out protesting or rallying in support of President Trump. Quite literally, though, he's the one pushing to give them a permanent solution, whereas the Democrats in the House and Senate have made it clear they're against it, which is nuts, man. It really is. Now, if you've got a D in your district or in your state, either as a senator or a representative, it's time to show them the door and get somebody in there that will do what you want them to do. All right, 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. When we come back, there's a country on this planet that no longer will allow you to boil a lobster while it's alive. I kid you not. That plus, why wasn't a mother of a navalman who died able to go to his funeral? We'll have that for you too. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. Nothing you can take
and tear me away from my guy. My guy. Nothing you can do. That was actually in tune. It wasn't supposed to be. My guy. That was better. I'm sticking to my guy. All right, glad to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Always a pleasure to have you along for the ride. There's a lot going on. A couple of stories I want to get to here. A couple of stories I want to bring you. One about the mother of a sailor who wasn't allowed to go to his funeral. And we'll talk about why. And also, you're no longer allowed to boil lobsters alive in one country. I'll tell you where that is. Right now, though, I want to tell you about what your New Year's resolution should be if the IRS is on your back. I want you to resolve right here, right now, that January, this month, and 2018, this year, is the year you stop living in fear of the IRS. Resolve right now to stop worrying if today is the day the IRS shows up at work. Resolve to stop lying awake at night, worrying how you're going to provide for your family after the IRS garnishes your wages and freezes your bank accounts. Stop all that before it starts. Turn your resolution into reality and call the number one tax resolution firm, Optima Tax Relief. Optima knows that behind every tax problem, you've got good people, people with families, homes, savings, and paychecks that need protection, which explains how they've resolved over $500 million in tax debt for their clients, and they're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. Give yourself the gift of a resolution this year. Call the experts that I trust, Optima Tax Relief. It's 800-656-7034. 800-656-7034, 800-656-7034. Call Optima Tax Relief. Tell them Joe Pags sent you. I can't think of a good reason why somebody, a sailor dying, would the funeral would go off without the mother, if she's alive, being there. It's a strange story to me, but here it is, and it really happened. This is from Chris Pleasance at the Daily Mail. In the United Kingdom, but we don't have a lot of time. We just call it the UK. We have even less time. I'll just say UK for UK. Navy veteran's mother is denied a visa to attend his funeral after he died suddenly from leukemia. A Navy veteran who died from leukemia at the age of 22 was buried without his mother at his side after she was twice denied a visa to attend his funeral. Not sure how to pronounce it. She could be Nok Trong, I'm not sure, who was born in Vietnam but lived in Arkansas, was a U.S. citizen, served 4 years as a machinist mate aboard the USS John McCain before leaving the service in October last year. He moved to Florida to study graphic design, but shortly afterward was diagnosed with leukemia before passing away in December. Well, the father made preparations for his funeral. His mother, who is divorced and still lives in Vietnam, was trying to get a visa. She applied twice for permission to attend her son's funeral, was turned down both times, according to WREG. And I believe WREG is in Memphis. Eventually, Trong was buried on December 26th without his mother present on his grave with the words of John F. Kennedy, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." His father said he's already done for this country, but what his country has done for, what has his country done for him? What did this country do for him? Well, I mean, I would argue that gave him great opportunity and so on, but I understand his meaning with the mother not being able to go. The episode left the jewelry store owner who lives in Blytheville fuming mad. He added that he has no idea why the visa was denied, that the State Department has refused to shed any light on it, saying all visa documents are confidential. I mean, I'd like to know why. I really would. Now, I'm guessing as this story gets out there, somehow it's going to be President Trump's fault. I'm sure that's going to happen on some level if it hasn't already. But, I mean, I don't understand that. And again, we know nothing about the mother. Could be convicted somebody, could be they vetted her and she has this issue or she was part of that thing. You never know. But man, I think that we should make every possible move to try to let a parent go to the funeral of his or her son or daughter. I don't think parents, I know that it happens and it makes me sick, but I hate even knowing that parents go to any funeral of their children because their children shouldn't die before their parents. We should die before our kids. Having said that, in the off chance that it happens, you damn Skippy, the mother and father should be there. I wish we had more information. Karina, do me a favor and stay on that story. Let me know if any more information comes out about that. Then there's this. In Switzerland. Oh, yeah. It's crazy Swiss. You can't put a live lobster in boiling water. I want to make sure you understand. In Switzerland, nope, you can't put a live lobster in boiling water. Of course, you put them in boiling water, they die, they get cooked, and they're delicious. This is from thestar.com. Actually, by way of the Washington Post, Lindsay Bever is the writer. Poached, grilled, or baked with brie, served in a roll, or mac and cheese, lobsters may be one of the most popular crustaceans in culinary arts, but when it comes to killing them, there's a long and unresolved debate about how to do it humanely and whether that extra consideration is even necessary. The Swiss Federal Council issued an order this week banning cooks in Switzerland from placing live lobsters into pots of boiling water, joining a few other jurisdictions that have protections for the crustacean. Switzerland's new measure stipulates that beginning March 1st, lobsters must be knocked out either by electric shock or mechanical destruction of the brain before boiling them, according to Swiss public broadcaster RTS. The announcement reignited a long-running debate. Can lobsters even feel pain? Dude, if we solved every other problem on Earth, that this is what we're worried about now? Bye up! Dirty pop. Polo, make it happen. What's going on?
All right, so do you remember the group The Cranberries?
Yes.
Okay, do you remember?
Linger was the big song I remember.
Right, that one I think they had on the call, Zombie. Well, today, Dolores O'Riordan, I guess I should say her last name, she passed away. They're saying it's...
Yeah, it's Riordan. I heard about that. Do we know why?
They're saying that it's unexplained right now. I know that a few years ago she had, I think, attempted suicide. Her bandmates are also saying that she had been severely depressed. But the crazy thing is that her... Their, her